This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Planning. Everybody talks about it. We plan for the future, right? You even go as far, conservatives listening to the Kevin Jackson Show, you go as far as to plan for the future of your kids. Not just your future. You're like, no, I want my kids to be this, that, and the other, and you may even live vicariously through some of them. I want to be a Major League Baseball player. I'll make my kid a baseball player, whatever. Or your daughter, a ballerina, or who knows, an accountant, a doctor, or who, whatever they may choose. But you have a vision, right? A plan. And I love people to tell me, oh man, Kevin, I don't know that I have the discipline to do such and such or whatever. And I go, you have the discipline to do it? Certainly you do. I'll give you an example. Hardly a woman in the world who's married did not, here it comes, plan her wedding. And they did it in advance. They don't just plan for, it's going to be a week out. They plan months in advance. They plan on the dress they bring. They organize their people together. They get their friends and they bring in bridesmaids and mother-in-law, to-bes and all kinds of stuff. And then they talk to people, girlfriends. They talk to flower people. They talk to the caterers. They plan. And then you say, hey, can you plan for your future for this? Oh, I don't know how to do it. These are always cracking me up. People that would work out. I would train them. And they'd say, Kevin, I just don't have the discipline. I don't know, man. I just can't lose this weight. And I would go, yeah, really? You don't have the discipline, huh? Do you work? Yeah, I do. What time you got to be at the job? 8:00. Can you be late? How many times can you be late before they finally say enough is enough? I don't know. I was looking at the employee manual, and I think that 4 times, and then you go on warning. They know. And I go, well, how many times have you been late? I'm not late. So you get there early? Yeah, I get there, I don't know, usually 15 minutes. I have to judge traffic and all that. Okay, great. So you get there on time. When do you leave? Well, I leave at 5. Okay. When do you leave? Do you leave at 4:54? Do you leave at 5? I leave at 5, man. I mean, it hits. Sometimes I leave after. I leave after the boss leaves, whatever. Okay, so you get there on time and you leave on time. You have any breaks in between? Yeah, when are your breaks? You take your breaks? Yeah, what are they, 15 minutes? Do you go 17? Well, if you have a loose job, they'll let you do it, sure, from time to time. But you know when your break ends. When's your lunch break? Oh, I get an hour. Do you take an hour and 30? No, I take an hour. So you exhibit discipline all day long, and you know how to plan, because when you look at traffic, what's the weather going to be like when I'm leaving, getting there, blah, blah, blah. Do I go to lunch off campus or stay on campus because I don't know if I can make it? Sometimes you even cut your lunch short if there are things going on. You are a planner, and you are regimented. You know how to do stuff. So tell me why you can't get to the gym. Oh, you want to know why? Let me give you your answer. Because you don't treat it like work. You don't treat it like it's like something that has that type of meaning to you. Your job has significance. If you lose it, then it's over. Well, let me tell you this. If you don't lose the weight, using this analogy, your life, as you know, is technically over. Because it's something that's bothering you. And you act as if you don't have the discipline to take care of it. But what you're telling me is you really don't want it. It's not like your job. Because you really want your job, and you will do the things to keep your job. Now, if you lose 40 pounds, you might be healthier. You may live another 10 years. You may actually be more appealing to your mate. Your friends and family may look at you differently. People may look at you as if you can accomplish something, like, look at what this person did. They planned it and they did it. Look at them. Whoa, way to go. People are going to look at you like you're a superstar. You've dropped that many pounds. You're going to become an inspiration. What is it about that you don't like? I'm just curious. Because that's what we're talking about. I think Eleanor Roosevelt said it takes as much time to win or energy. I think she said it takes as much energy to wish as it does to plan. And other people have said it takes as much time to wish as it does to plan. I know that's what my grandmother used to say. So if you're gonna, if the energy is going to be out there in the universe, why don't you make a plan? Now, for those of you who say, Kevin, I've heard you say this, you know, man makes a plan and God chuckles. Yeah. But God's, I'm not talking about a plan for, oh, I'm going to be so super rich and this is the way my life is going to go. I'm talking about you just planning your education, you planning for an emergency fund for savings, you planning whatever. God's not laughing at that. He understands that in as much as the Bible is a plan for your big time future, correct? God isn't laughing at your plan in that respect. He's saying, as long as everything that you do in glorification of me and not yourself, you can plan away. Because your plan is no longer selfish. I don't plan because I go, ooh, I'm going to be super rich and people are going to love Kevin. I plan because I say, you know what, this is needed. I want to do it. I think it's important that we do it. And we do it to glorify God, not to glorify ourselves. There are people out there, look, I know them. Sometimes I put them on Front Street. Most of the time I don't. But much of the, I will tell you, there are many people out there, all they care about is what other people are thinking about them. Can somebody like what I do? Can somebody share what I do? Can somebody retweet what I do? Or whatever. I don't say anything that I'm not willing to say across the board in any audience, no matter what. And I don't care whether you like it or not. The plan is not, woo, make myself big. Do I understand the marketing of what we do? Absolutely. And I cannot stand it. I detest it. But it's something we got to do. My team says, Kevin, we got to make you bigger, man. We got to blow things up over here, brother. And I go, I get it, guys. But understand, if we don't do it with the idea that it is for the glory of God, not for the glory of us, our team, Kevin Jackson, or anybody else, it is a wasted plan. So I want you to plan, but put God in your plan. I'm not trying to be all preachy. I'm just telling you, it's okay. Because it does take as much energy to wish as it does to plan. And if you believe in a higher power, as I do, you understand there's no such thing as a wish or a hope. All you got to do is say, hey, God, here's what I'm thinking. You know, and if it is your will, if it's something that you feel like I can do to glorify you, help me to achieve, you know, if it's your will, I'm willing to go do it. That's what you do. Zig Ziglar said this, you were born to win, but to be a winner, you must plan to win, prepare to win, and expect to win. And that's what I want to come back and talk about. I want to talk about Donald Trump in that aspect. Born to win, prepare to win, plan to win, expect to win. See, that's what I do. I expect to win. And I know many of you do too. You've learned this trick. We'll be back.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Beth Cook Moranville, author of Closer Than Your Breath, A Book of Hope.
Hope, that wonderful, wonderful four-letter word that you may feel completely out of. I wrote this book to give you great hope. It's not too late. If fetal position is an all too familiar place for you, I understand. If the next 60 seconds are too long, this book is for you. Wherever you are right now, whether you're dealing with divorce or death or sickness, take hope. You are going to make it through this pain. Don't roll your eyes. I've walked this road, and I know it. The best is yet to come.
Closer Than Your Breath, A Book of Hope from author and speaker Beth Cook Moranville can be found on Amazon.com or Kindle.com. For more information, visit CloserThanYourBreath.com or on Facebook at Closer Than Your Breath.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We promote the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse and invite you to try them today by visiting GCNLife.com. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start Program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Jackson Radio Show.
And it didn't cost us a dime.
Talking about planning. Planning for you. Planning for your future. Planning for your life. Now, many of us, we would think, oh, Kevin, you're talking about financial planning. Yeah, that's part of it. Part of it's soul planning. You know, what are you going to do after life? Do you believe that you need to do that? Because if you do, you probably go to church. You believe in God, blah, blah, blah. Right? So you plan for that. Others of us plan for the future of our children. We plan vacations. We plan a lot of stuff. Some of us even go further. We say, you know what? I want to plan the quality of my life. I'm going to be involved in the quality of my life, and I will plan for my political future, my political well-being, and you get plugged in politics. And that's what brings you here to the Kevin Jackson Show. And I'm glad you're here. KJRadio.com, 844-551-8255. Welcome, planners. You began planning when? A decade ago? Some longer, right? Two, 3 decades ago. You voted this way, whatever. But let me tell you something. On November the 8th of 2016, your plan came together. That's right. The election of Donald Trump. Now, see, let me explain what happened. The Democrats, leading up to this point, had 4 or 5 decades of just slowly taking over the culture and everything involved in politics. They had a long-range plan. They did. And you know what we did as conservatives? We neglected it because we said, you know, right is right and wrong is wrong, and right always defeats wrong. It'll happen. Yeah. Because we were all goody two-shoes, and we just figured, come on, if God in the cosmic realm of things will go, you know what, these conservatives have taken enough, and they're religious people, and they even take being called the religious right, and zealots, and sanctimonious whatevers, and so I'm going to take care of them. I'm not going to give them Barack Obama. I'm going to let them win. And God went, no, not yet. You're not quite there yet, conservatives. And the left continued their devious plots, their devious planning. And then, to quote the great Mike Tyson, everyone has a plan till they get punched in the mouth. And as a fellow pugilist, one that uses both his hands and his feet, I will tell you that is the case. Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth, or until they get kicked in the naughty bits, or hit real hard in the leg and watch it noodle. Then suddenly the plan disappears. And you want to know what that is? That's that look in the eye when a guy who starts a fight with you figures out, I just screwed up. I can't win this fight. I've seen it. Thankfully, I've never had to look it, because I don't start fights. I just finish them. Many of my martial arts buddies that listen to the program, yeah, Don and Dave, Dan, I got you guys, I know you, I know who's listening, and many others that are out there, you know what I'm talking about. We don't train to fight, we train to avoid the fight. But if you want to have the fight, we'll give it to you. And there's a look in the eye, and every one of my martial arts friends is probably, most of them, has seen it. There's a look in the eye of a person that goes, oh, crap. And it's a look that I would never want to have, because it's a look of fear and it's a look of a coward. That's right. Somebody who's been used to bullying people his or her whole life, and suddenly they run up against that person that everybody says, you know, exists. That person that you go, there's always somebody tougher. Well, as a martial artist, I know that, but here's what I can tell you. You're never going to find out from me, because I'm not going to challenge that person. But if I get challenged, guess what? I'm going to fight back. And to quote Mike Tyson again, everybody has a plan till they get punched in the mouth. And that's what happened to the Democrats. They got punched in the mouth. November the 8th of 2016, you punched the Democrats in the mouth. And the head that was on your fist was Donald Trump, and he has the head of a ram. And you just said, pow, and their big old knuckleheads exploded. And now they don't know what to do. So they criticize, they ridicule Trump to get to you. They don't want to say, in some cases, they've said it's you. They've called you deplorables, they've died, whatever. There's been 2 or 3 people that have talked smack about you. But for the most part, they go, no, we don't want to offend the American people, the great American people. It's Donald Trump we don't like. Oh, okay, I get it. You don't want to offend me, but you're going to talk smack about my mama. I got it. Not that Donald Trump's my mama, but metaphorically, you get what I'm saying here, right? But everybody doesn't have that view of Donald Trump. First of all, well over half the nation now understands exactly what we did. They're all in it with us. They're like, do it, baby. We get it now. We understand you. We didn't understand before. Now we get it. I've talked about this the other day. Many people who liked other candidates are going, you know what? You Trumpers, you were right. Trumpsters, whatever you call yourselves, you were right. We were wrong. No candidate that we picked could have withstood the onslaught that is currently happening to Donald Trump. Nor could they have beaten up the media and the FISA courts and the FBI and the NSA and the CIA and the DNC and Democrats and Obama machine and all these other things. They couldn't have done it. Holly Weird, everybody, every one of them struggling. They couldn't have done it. So there's a lot of people that have gained respect of Trump. I saw a poll the other day that said, oh, the Midwestern housewives or the suburban housewives no longer like Donald Trump. And I'm like, since when? Since when do suburban housewives not like alpha male billionaire rock star bad boys? Huh? Somebody tell a brother that. Exactly. They want you demoralized. They can't demoralize you anymore. You already know the game. Look, I know there's a lot to talk about politically, but this is important stuff. Glad you guys are here listening to Kevin Jackson. That would be me talking to myself in third person, but that makes me important, doesn't it? Yeah, so this is what's going on. The left wants you demoralized even though you got a rock star gorilla champion behind you. And you done punched somebody in the mouth. Bang! They're waking up going, muscle memory. Donald Trump is bad. Donald Trump is not good for us. Whoa. And where am I? Where am I? You got knocked the flunk out, brother, by the Trump team. The Trump train just ran over you. Yeah, everybody's got a plan. The Democrats had a plan. A devious plan. It involved everything I just mentioned. It started from the top with Barack Obama. Conniving, scheming with Hillary Clinton. You know, Barack, I'm owed this.
Yeah, Hillary, I know. I know we owe you. I whooped your butt. You're good. You took it good. So it's time to pay you back. Let's do this.
So he goes in and cabal gives him. He said, I got a few strings I can pull. So he gets FBI, NSA, CIA, all of them, FISA courts. He's using fusion GPS. Conniving with the Russians, Medvedev, yeah, we'll get to this one next time when I'm back in the office in 2012. So they're all conniving together, right, scheming together, and bringing in everything. And, of course, the media in Hollywood, you got De Niro out there, Donald Trump, Tom Hanks, you'll never be president. All the late-night comedians, it'll never happen. Yeah. And then everybody has a plan till you get punched in the mouth. As Mike Tyson said, we'll be back. Keep it here, folks.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about down home value. Made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. Put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get diamond gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com. That's gusset.com. Or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
When you use public Wi-Fi, hackers and identity thieves can see anything you do online. Embarrassing photos, your web history, even your passwords. That's why I use private internet access to encrypt my internet connection for less than 10 cents a day. Sign up now at privateinternetaccess.com, and in just a few minutes, you'll be browsing anonymously and only sharing what you want to share. privateinternetaccess.com. It's time to protect your online privacy.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
Let this be a lesson to anyone, regardless of their political beliefs, that we will bring the full force of law against anyone who attempts to use threats, intimidation, and outright violence to further an agenda.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions today has 56-year-old Cesar Sayoc was arrested and is being charged with five crimes, including illegal mailing of explosives. All told, SIAC is suspected of sending 14 mail bombs to Democratic critics of President Trump. FBI Director Christopher Wray on the devices that were used.
Each device consisted of roughly 6 inches of PVC pipe, a small clock, a battery, some wiring, and what is known as energetic material, which is essentially potential explosives and material that give off heat and energy. These are not hoax devices.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
It is that time of the year, preparing home for the holidays. Don't sweat it. I've called in an expert. It's TV host, celebrity home designer, and expert craftsman, Chip Wade. Thanks, Chip, for joining us. Chip, we know it's important. We've got to start preparing our homes for the holidays. Why do we have to do it so early?
Well, it's, you know how things creep up on you. When you start thinking about the cold weather coming in, we're going to be spending a lot more time indoors, and we're thinking about guests coming into the home. We can't wait till the week before an event to get everything ready. So this is a great reminder that now is the time to start thinking about those things. So I got a couple of tips.
Chip, where can we go to learn for a good comprehensive list on improvements, appliances, the whole spiel?
I've actually set up, along with Sears, a great site at searshomeservices.com/fall. It's going to take you through a lot of these same tips we're talking about, but also point you right to the place where you can set up an appointment and get some of this stuff taken care of before the cold weather hits.
To end here.
Actually, it's just gotten started.
No! This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
So there's a funny video circulating about with some white progressives, and there's four of them there, and they've got a black friend, and they just assume the worst about him. They assume he's poor, he's underprivileged, etc., etc. And I want to play this clip because I think it acts as a perfect backdrop about leftism, and I've given this talk to many people. Do blacks need help in certain ways? Absolutely. I mean, rich is a relative term. You know, Donald Trump, to Jeff Bezos, Donald Trump is poor. To Donald Trump, some multimillionaire is poor. You get what I'm saying? It's all relative. But anyway, this clip is kind of funny, but it acts as a good backdrop for some things, and we'll try to cover a few topics this segment, but I want to at least start with this one.
A disenfranchised.
Russ, how do you feel about this? You must be more concerned than all of us.
Yeah, that's a really good question.
Well, I mean, obviously I have cause for concern, right? But my parents saw a lot worse, so I still have hope.
That is such a positive outlook, but all I feel is outrage. You know, how can we expect to progress as a nation if this is how we're treating our poor?
Right, but, I mean, I'm not poor.
No. Oh my God,
God,
that was so rude.
It's okay.
We know we're all rich in our own way.
Yes. Rich in love.
Nope. Rich blood. Nope.
Rich in stamp.
Nope. See, no, I'm not poor. See, just because I'm black doesn't mean I'm poor.
Oh,
not racist.
Seriously, if anyone's poor, it's me.
Exactly. Same. You know, we're not here to judge. Pizza's here.
Oh, nice. So hungry.
How do you guys want to pay for this?
Split it four ways?
Yeah, totally.
No, there's five of us, so five ways.
You would pay if you could, Raph. No need.
Yeah.
Now, the clip is hysterical. It goes on for another couple of minutes, and of course, they want this poor black guy. It's these progressives saying, no, you don't recognize how bad you have it. You just don't know. Glad you guys are still with me. Kevin Jackson's who you're listening to. It's a Kevin Jackson show. They don't get it. Kevin, your ancestors were slaves. We'll never get over this. Kevin, you had your civil rights just completely revoked. At some point, your people suffered. Kevin, what are you going to do, my friend? And it wouldn't matter how much money I have or what, you know, if I can't outdo them with yachts and parties and everything else, I am worse off and they need to help. And look, I'm not going to lie to you. It's great that my friends want to pick up the check and, you know, assume that I've been that dude. Among my black friends, I'm that dude. And I'll tell you what, it gets old. You finally get to the point where you go, hey, you pick up your own check. I think I told this story years ago when I started radio. I said I had a buddy of mine and he says he was down on his luck and I was thought about offering him a job, and we were in the conversations, and he says to me, "Man, you know, Kev, I don't know what I'm going to do." I said, "Well, I tell you what, I've got a happy hour with some clients. Meet me at this bar, and I'll buy you a drink." So he shows up at the bar, and he's got three other friends with him. So when they showed up, he was like, "Hey, this is so-and-so. Hey, good to meet you guys." All of them from the same company, all of them, you know, getting ready to get, you know, let go because the company was closing down. But I'd only told him I speak with him. But he says, "Yeah, I'm talking to a friend of mine. Maybe he could offer you guys a job, too." So, I got it. So we chit-chatted for a second. I said, "Oh, I guess they're shutting down the company." "Yeah, Kevin. You know, this, that, and the other." I said, "Well, here's what I'll do." I go, "You know, I'm here to talk to Larry about a job, but the first round's on me." So I pick up the first round, and then I go back to talk to my clients. And I'm at a place where the waitress knows me very well, and first round's on me. And, I'm over with entertaining my clients. And every now and then I'd break off and just have a quick conversation with Larry. But when I looked up, I noticed, man, these guys were doing shots. And I looked to myself, I thought, wow. You know, maybe they're drowning their sorrows and, you know, they've, you know, last paycheck. I had a friend of mine one time, he got fired, and he bought two cars on the day that he got fired, his and hers, for him and his wife, because he said, "When am I going to get to do this again until I get another job? So I better do it now." And I thought, that's kind of reverse logic. I was batting down the hatches, but he went out and bought two new cars on the day that he got his notice that he was not going to be needed in 2 weeks. Okay, different strokes for different folks. So I see these guys drinking, doing, you know, shots together and in their own little group. I didn't say a word. So at the end of the night, Rachel comes over. She says, "Hey, Kev, here's your tab." You know, and it was like 300-something bucks. And I went, "Rachel, I bought a round of drinks and I had two. How's my bill $300? "Oh, well, but, you know, they just put all the drinks on your tab." And all Larry's friends had left and he was still there. I can't remember exactly, but I do remember. They'd all left. So I went and I went outside. I called Larry. I said, "Hey, you need to come back here." And he's like, "What's going on?" I said, "You and your friends have a bar tab." And he was like, "What are you talking?" I said, "You and your friends have a bar tab. I picked up one round of drinks, and that was it." And I said, "I didn't ask you to bring all those friends so you guys can commiserate. That's on you." And he was like panicked. I said, "Look, not my deal." And I said, "By the way, if this is the way you think you're going to treat me, you're sadly mistaken. It's not going to happen like this." But that was my little, when I was the guy that bought the drinks and all that. And it becomes sort of the obvious. Oh, you're doing better than we are. You're not always doing better than the people you're buying drinks or dinner or lunch or anything else for. You're not. They'll make you think that. So, going back to this, "I'm not poor." This is a black guy going, "I'm not poor. You know, no, my folks did okay. I'm doing better than my folks, but I mean, they do okay." And then at the end of it, he says, "Hey, look, we're all at the same job." You know, "What do you mean? We're all making roughly the same amount of money. What are you guys talking about?" But they look at him and they go, you got a problem. That's my biggest issue with leftism. Leftism looks at a Latino and assumes that a Latino's got a problem. That problem has to do with immigration, being separated from family, you know, ripping away kids from parents and things like this. They look at blacks and they go, "Oh my gosh, you know, you people have a multitude of problems. How can we help you?" They look at women and they go, "Oh, but it depends on the kind of woman. Black women have different problems than Latino women have different problems than, you know, Asian women, etc. But hey, there's a women problem." They look at Muslims and go, "Oh, I get it. You know, the Christians are persecuting you," or whatever. Everybody's got a problem that they can solve. They won't even listen. They could talk to Dr. Zudi Zasser, a Muslim in America, what they would call a moderate Muslim, who doesn't believe in jihad and all this, and they would assume he's oppressed and he would go, "No, I'm actually doing pretty well. I drive a very nice car. I live in a very nice area of Phoenix, and my life goes pretty well." But they would look at him and go, "You've got a problem. The left, you know, the West has made your life miserable. Look at what we do to you." That's what they do to me. I told you guys this story, and I tell this to a lot of kids when I'm speaking at colleges. And by the way, we are speaking at a couple of colleges over the weekend. And I tell them a story about these black kids that they marginalize, that they think are, you know, these little thugs out in the streets, and they think their lives are so much better. And on the surface, yeah, your life is better. You're not dodging bullets and running from popo and so on and so forth. But their lives are no better. I mean, they have their own set of problems. Yeah, these kids have very serious problems in the hood and could lose their lives, go to prison, and a bunch of other stuff. But it's all relative. It's all relative. So the story I tell is, when you look at these kids and you see that they, what they do, they think, oh, they're poor. These poor little black kids out there slinging drugs, and they have no chances, no opportunities. Blah, blah, blah. These kids have more money in their pockets than the parents of the white kids that want to help them. These kids will have thousands of dollars. I've seen it with my own eyes. They will have thousands of dollars, 14, 15 years old, walking around with $5,000, $10,000 in their pocket from dealing drugs. And they do it every day. And so people think, these kids are, woe are they? Woe is nothing. And what I tell these little snowflakes that are coming from college, don't let that kid that's willing to sling drugs and make that kind of money find out he can make it legit. And all he's got to do is replace you, your little, trigger word needing, crying closet needing, safe space needing person. He's got none of those. He's got no trigger words. He's got no safe spaces. He's got no crying closet. He's got real life, the toughest you can live it outside of being in a war zone. And some people would describe where he is as a war zone. But they think he's poor. That little kid could walk uptown sagging, with his dreadlocks and his white beater and pockets, down to practically to his knees. And he's got $10,000 in his pocket. And he knows he's going to make another $10,000 tomorrow. And people looking at him like, look at that poor kid. Oh, my God, we got to help him. Help him figure out how to invest his money, because he's got more than you. Made a video. These kids were fanning out thousands of dollars, riding expensive crotch rockets, cars bouncing up and down. The value of what they did to the car worth more than the car. And the leftists want you to believe that these kids are poor.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Keyboard Cat, Hamilton the Pug, and Toast Meets World. These are some of the internet's most beloved pets. With millions of YouTube views, shares, Instagram likes, followers, and fans across the globe. But what do all these amazing pets have in common? Their stories started in a shelter. Start your story. Adopt a dog or cat today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a shelter or adoptable pets near you. Training that pet to play the keyboard? Well, that's entirely up to you. Visit theshelterpetproject.org and hear more about Hamilton the Pug, Toast, and Keyboard Cat's amazing adoption stories. Start a story. Adopt a shelter or rescue pet today. Your perfect pet is just a click away at theshelterpetproject.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Mattis Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Times are changing. The circus of politics, healthcare's low standards and high prices, and let's not forget food quality. What to do? Arm yourself with Life Change Tea at GetTheTea.com. In a world of chemical imbalance and poor air and water quality, it's time you make a move. Log on to GetTheTea.com and stock up on organic non-GMO supplements. Don't forget the tea. Cleansing your body never felt so good. And we have a brand new tea called Takedown Tea, which helps support healthy glucose. All natural body support so you can be at your best, naturally. All you have to do is log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. We're not a fad that comes and goes. We are the real deal. Join us and armor up. GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Changing America's health one tea bag at a time.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. In an historic event, former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. To secure your spot, text JOIN to 44055. This event is the first of its kind ever. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls in the weeks and months ahead. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars. To join American Cannabis Summit, text JOIN to 44055. Attendance is free. Text JOIN to 44055.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-318-1251. That's 800-318-1251. 800-318-1251.
Jackson Radio Show
con Kevino Jacksones.
So, Whiteness History Month is actually, whiteness is a term that's been in academic circles since the mid-90s, and it's really looking at the social construct of whiteness, and that whiteness is really a systemic organizational issue, and it affects everyone, not just people of color, but it affects all people. And so this event is really a grassroots approach with a committee of faculty, staff, and students that really design the events and the activities, and it really gives people an opportunity to assess what whiteness means to them.
Welcome back, everybody. Kevin Jackson here, KJRadio.com, so you can find out more about me and my blackness. You white folks. Ooh, wow, that was one of y'all's. That's what we say around my family. We go, that's your people.
That's your people. Me and my friends, my different color friends. That's what I'll say. If something crazy happens in India and I'm around one of my Indian friends, I'll be like, man, your people. That's your people. It's become kind of, well, it isn't becoming the joke. It is a joke. Because the joke is, it's not your people. It's somebody crazy saying something, right? But in this particular case, with white people, you got to admit, liberal white folks are bat crap crazy, guano crazy. You know they are. This guy, we're going to study the social construct of whiteness. The social construct? You mean the fact that people are born white, other people are born brown, other people are born slightly yellow or red, or the fact that we're all born human with this interesting thing called color, that, by the way, differs for every single person on the planet, the almost 7 billion people. It doesn't matter. And then we got to discuss, as he called it, the systematic organizational issue of whiteness. Why? Because it affects everybody. I mean, I don't know about you, when I'm walking down the street and I see whiteness, I'm like, whoa, hold on a minute. I'm going to cross the street from some whiteness. Are you kidding me? The social construct of whiteness. White folks, man, white liberals. Y'all better check your people, white folks. Then he goes on to say, it affects everybody, not just minorities, and it's an opportunity to assess what whiteness means to different people. That's why they're doing this at Portland Community College, because they want people to assess whiteness, whether you're black, brown, whatever, red, yellow, we're going to assess whiteness. And from your perspective, because surely, I mean, come on now, people of other color, surely you've been impacted by whiteness. I mean, take, for example, if you're black and then somebody white were to come impact you, well, there's certainly shades of gray there, are there not? Not to go all color wheel on you, but there are. Surely, Kevin, your interaction with white people has been devastating to you. No, I can't say that it has. Let me tell you what white people have done for me. They paid for my stellar high school education at the Marine Military Academy. Then I was on scholarship because of those white folks and my intellect to go to SMU, Southern Methodist University, during the heyday. That's the impact that whiteness has had on me. And oh, by the way, the very same people who sent me to school treated me like family, and I got to travel the world with them. The very same people are treating me like family, and what do you want me to tell you? I have white folks right now that treat me better than my family treats me, and my family treats me pretty well. I got my mom and dad, my adopted parents, they're white. I adopted white parents. I could choose anybody I wanted, and I racially profiled, and I chose Frank and Mary, a couple I met in Colorado. They don't have any kids, so it worked out pretty well. We didn't go through an agency. I saw them. We went to dinner. We chatted, and I said, and Mary says, you're like my son, because she loved my work, and I said, well, then you're like my mom, and bada bing, bada boom, no lawyers. We adopted each other, and they donated to my charities. In fact, the family, my extended family, they've got a place in Colorado, a place in Florida. I've been to our Florida place on the beach. Yeah, yeah. White people, when I interact with them, man, my life changes dramatically for the better. Frank and Mary flew in one time from Florida to come to my charity event. I know they loved it. It was amazing. I sound like Trump. It was amazing. It was the best event ever. It was the best charity event you could ever go to. I mean, people were fantastic. It was amazing. Did I mention that? But they flew and they redirected their flight and said, hey, we're going to go to St. Louis and go, you know, do this charity event with our son. When I'm on TV, Mary sends me a note. Hey, son, great job on TV. So, yeah, I've had a few run-ins with white folks. Had a run-in with a white dude one time, and he says, Kevin, I'm going to fly you out first class, come golfing with me in Arizona, and you're going to stay at my place. And his place where I stayed is better than my house. Now, I tell you, I keep having these run-ins with white folks. I got to stop. Somebody don't stop me. But let's segue into black privilege. The term black privilege, I'm reading this from Newsbusters, is profoundly upsetting to liberals at CNN.com.
As a reporter, John Blake, tried to explain it in an article, it's time to talk about black privilege. In America, you can't even talk about whiteness, said Drew Domalik, who lives in Green Bay, Wisconsin. If you try to embrace being white, you are portrayed as being a racist. If we had a White History Month, that would be viewed as a racist holiday. He's right. See, here's the thing. There's no reason to celebrate whiteness. Oh, yeah, you heard Kevin Jackson say it. There's no reason to celebrate whiteness. Kevin, what are you talking about, man? You're mixing me up. No, let me tell you, there's no reason to celebrate blackness. There's no reason to celebrate brownness. There should be no National Asian Month. I mean, I'm happy that there's Chinese New Year, but frankly, I don't really care when the Chinese celebrate their New Year. Why do we even... Hey, it's the beginning of Chinese New Year. Who cares? China should care. I don't care. I mean, I appreciate the fact that we have Chinese and American culture, but you're American. Other than just anecdotally saying, oh, by the way, Kevin, the Chinese who are Americans of Chinese descent, this is something they may or may not celebrate because it's Chinese New Year. It's a cultural thing for them. But outside of that, I don't care when Chinese New Year begins or ends. I care about spring, winter, summer, and fall, those days. I care about Veterans Day, Memorial Day. I care about Mother's Day and Father's Day. I care about Easter as a Christian. I care about Christmas. And you know what? I will even concede that I care about my Jewish friends' holidays, Rosh Hashanah, and you know all the other things that the Jews celebrate. But other than that, I don't really care about the rest of it. I don't. And I, you know, so to Kevin, let's celebrate black this, black. I don't celebrate black anything, and white people shouldn't be celebrating their stuff. I celebrate American culture and ingenuity and invention. And you know what? Even as in as much as I'll tell you this, whether it's Germans, I think Tesla was an amazing dude. So I'll celebrate Tesla. I'll celebrate Oktoberfest. But I'll celebrate them under the idea that we have Germans in America that celebrate these things. I'll celebrate St. Patrick's Day for the Irish. You know, it's always a good reason to go out and have a beer with your white friends. Anyway, he goes on. It's part of a larger transformation. White is becoming the new black. If you read my book, Race Pimping, I swear to you, my intro alone speaks to all of this. Black is the new white. White is the new black. That's the way I start the book. Google the phrase black privilege and one steps into a universe where whites struggle daily against the indignities heaped upon them because of their skin color. I'm reading from an article. The most furious lefties are peddlers of white privilege, shaming. Count Peggy McIntosh is one of the angry. She's arguably more responsible for popularizing the concept of white privilege than anyone. An activist, retired Wellesley College professor, her 1989 essay, White Privilege, Unpacking the Invisible Knapsack, has been widely reprinted. It's taught in many colleges. Her essay gives examples of what McIntosh calls white privilege. I can go shopping alone most of the time, pretty well assured that I will not be followed or harassed. If a traffic cop pulls me over, I can be sure I haven't been singled out because of my race. Well, I say to you, McIntosh, Peggy McIntosh, I dare you to do that in Compton. I dare you. I'll show you how much white privilege you have. You are going to get your head bashed in. Somebody's going to take your purse, and you probably, even though you're not that attractive, will be raped. Now, Kevin, you're saying blacks are... No, I'm telling you that there's a criminal element that is waiting to prey upon you under these circumstances. This is crazy that we continue to have these discussions, folks. She said, the black privilege checklist sounds like a prolonged whine from people who resent being challenged about their white privilege. Well, let me tell you something. I got friends who've done nothing to black folks, and they are not concerned at all about white privilege or black privilege. They're concerned about just living the dream in America and pursuing the opportunity. I got to leave it there.
Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Putting an end to identity politics.
Now, something completely different.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.